True Crime Broads with Crystal and Renee.
Whoa.
Wow.
Welcome to True Crime Broads. This is Crystal.
And Renee.
And we're so excited to talk to you. It's been so long. Renee, how have you been?
Oh my gosh, we've had so much going on. We have been out of commission for just a bit, but
out of commission is a good phrase for it.
Definitely. We've had a few reasons. I know that you know my story, but nobody else does. So I'm going to share a little bit of it. It's going to just a couple minutes. On May the 6th, I was going to look at a truck and I was going to go pick up Keith afterwards. And so me and you were talking on the phone and I let you go so I could go look at the truck. Well, I went to take a look at it and decided that I was going to try to get in the truck. Well, the truck was really tall, so I couldn't get in. So there's like a handle there. So I grabbed the handle. Well, little did I know that the handle was broken. Mm-hmm. Grabbed the handle, mm-hmm. fell out of the truck and fell on my wrist. I was actually mortified. I looked down and saw my wrist and what looked to me was deformity. That's the only way I can describe it.
So horrifying.
Oh my gosh, it was absolutely horrible. And just for everybody listening, Crystal was my lifesaver because you were the last person I talked to. So when I got on my phone, when I got in my vehicle, I was so mortified and scared because I literally had to pick my wrist up off the ground. Okay. I don't even know how I did all that. I don't know how I got off the ground. I don't remember getting up. I just remember picking my wrist up, my hand, my wrist up off the ground. And I remember grabbing my purse, getting in the car. And the person that was showing me the vehicle, they were like, "Are you okay?" And I just kept saying, "I have to go." So I got in the car. I called you because when you have one hand that you're using, you can't, you know, hold your phone and scroll for it. So somehow I laid my phone down enough that I could just hit call. And I called you, of course, you already know that. And I was hysterical. I'm sure you remember this.
I felt so scared and so horrible for you.
Oh God, I was so scared because I was like, it's deformed, what do I do? And thankfully you were looking it up and telling me that's normal for a broken wrist. Maybe it's not broken. I'm like, oh, it's broken. It looked so bad.
Oh God, so, I was so hoping it was strained. It was
strained. I know, me too. It's been so crazy because it's been 3 weeks now. And the thing that's crazy is like, have you ever tried to make a phone call with one hand? Of course, that's what I did. Don't recommend it to anybody, but that's what I did. I called you and, you know, you talked me through it. It was such a blessing. But what are some of the things that you would think would be impossible to do with one hand?
I'm thinking brassiere.
Yeah, that's definitely one.
That's a tough one. Oh yeah. Gosh, so many things, you know, like
so many things.
Like you can brush your teeth with one hand, but getting the cap off the toothpaste, getting the toothpaste on the toothbrush, that would be a challenge. Anything would be hard.
You know what it is? That is one of the biggest ones that irritates me because I try to be independent always. That's just me. So I'll take my toothbrush and I try to lean it up against something and it just keeps falling over. And you're trying to put the toothpaste on, then it falls over and the toothpaste gets on the counter. And you're like, ugh. But these are the things that have irritated me the most. That's definitely on the list.
Shows writing, you how much we take for granted, you know?
Yes, I know. And you don't think about it. You don't really think it's that big a deal until you actually have to do it with one hand. It's so annoying. Right. But writing, I can't write unless someone is literally holding the paper because every time I write, the paper like twists or moves and my letters don't come out correctly. And I'm just like irritated. So I have to say, can you hold it for me? So I can sign it.
Oh my God.
It's so crazy.
And I know what a fiercely independent person you are. It must be killing you having to like rely on people to help you all the time.
Oh my gosh. It's so crazy. It's annoying and driving me nuts. Another one is grocery shopping. You know, of course it seems like easy enough, like you're just pushing it with one hand, no big deal. But when you got to turn, you actually have to start putting your foot on the cart and trying to make it turn a certain way. And if you have anything in the buggy that is remotely heavy, forget it. So I've just started going in there and getting in those carts, the carts that you drive around. I've just been getting in those because I can literally set my wrist down. I can drive around. And if I need to get up to get something, I can get up and get something. So it makes it easier. So that's cool.
That is cool. I'm glad you're on the road to recovery.
I know
your wrist was hurting earlier tonight, but how is it overall? Like, are you better?
Yeah, it's getting better. I have noticed that I have actually, okay, like in the beginning, it was like my brain knew that my wrist was non-functional. Of course, obviously it's broken, but my fingers are visible. So, I mean, I can move them a little bit. They, you know, they've been swollen and stuff. I can kind of move them a tiny bit, but I know in my brain that I can't use that hand, but I can tell I'm getting better because subconsciously I'm starting to use my fingers to do things. And I'll give you an example, you know, like when you're, when I take, I can't see, I think me and you have this in common. I can't see up close on my phone. Mm-hmm. Like for instance, if I look at my phone, I have to take my glasses off because my glasses are for distance. So I take my glasses and I put them down so I can read my phone. Well, if I'm holding my phone in my right hand, which is the only hand I have usable, I have no way to put my glasses back up on my face. So I've noticed myself using my fingers to put them back up recently. So I think that my brain knows that my hand's getting better and I can sort of, does that make sense? It's kind of weird. Yeah. But, so I'm kind of starting to use them subconsciously. One of the things that's really weird though, is that, you know how whenever you like wake up in the morning, you stretch your body. Well, I stretch my arm out because I've always got it up and I will subconsciously stretch and I can kind of feel it in my arm. It's so weird.
That is weird. Well, I'm just so happy that you're getting better because that was just so scary. And I hope it's healing well and you'll
it's feeling much better. It does ache after a full day of just sitting around and holding it in certain positions, but I guess that's just normal. So but yeah, thank you for getting me through that crazy time.
Oh my gosh, I just hope you get through the rest of the recovery quickly. And the only crazy thing I've actually had happen, I say only, I'm sure lots of crazy things happen, but as far as health-wise goes, I had that horrible stomach flu or stomach virus, whatever you call it. And oh my gosh, you know, you and I are like, in that we get sick. I'm sure the moms out there listening can relate. We just keep going. Like I'll have strep throat and my kids will have it and they'll get over it first and I still have it, but I'm still running them around to their, where they need to be and taking care of things. And, you know, we just don't slow down. But I tell you what, that stomach virus, you just got to stop. I was in bed all day one day and into the next day. And man, I just was so miserable. And I remember when I could finally hold something down, Mike, I just asked him to please, I texted him to please go to Kroger. That's our local grocery store. Please run up to Kroger and get some bananas. I said, I think I can eat a banana. And he had the most fantastic fresh bananas. I don't know how he did it because I never find those kind.
Good job, it, Mike.
Yeah, it was this petite little fresh banana that he brought in and I ate it. And he was happy to see me finally eat. And I was holding that banana up. I was still lying in bed, too sick to get up. I was holding that banana up like the Statue of Liberty. I was like, this is the most amazing banana I've ever had. He was very proud. So anyway,
I'm just
happy that that's over. Yes, that was horrible. That happened like right before you broke your wrist. So yours is obviously much worse and longer lasting, but let's just hope we can stay out of trouble here for a while.
Oh, no kidding. I know, I felt bad for you. I remember that day where you were out of commission for 24 hours or whatever. And that was tough.
It was like a whole day and a half. I mean, I know there's people out there that are way sicker than that. There were things that aren't, that are temporary, but that aren't temporary. Okay. Sorry. I had to text my son back. I told one son that I was getting on the podcast. I forgot to tell the other one. I guess he texted me the other one. So yeah, we've gotten through some wacky stuff and, so that's that. And, oh, okay. So I wanted to read a review that we got, a really nice review on Apple Podcasts. You know, there's not that many places where you can read reviews, that you can leave reviews for podcasts, and Apple is one of them. And I just thought I would read that really quick.
Oh yeah.
Of course it's not wanting to load now. Oh, I tell you what, while I'm waiting for my phone to think this through, I wanted to tell you guys, I got the funniest email about our podcast, and it is from, let me pull that up while this is thinking. Of course, my phone would freeze while I'm on the air. Okay, so check this out. We got an email from Chartable, okay? And in the subject line, it says, True Crime Broads is charting on Apple Podcasts. And I was like, whoa, that's amazing that they went to the if they went to the trouble of telling us, it's probably pretty good, right?
Yeah.
So I open it up. Hey there, congratulations. True Crime Broads is now ranked number 44 on the Apple Podcast True Crime Chart in Taiwan.
That is so awesome.
I know, but the fact that it said Taiwan just sort of cracked me up. I love Taiwan, and thank you everyone in Taiwan who's listening, but it just was kind of funny that that was the one place they picked, and I guess that's the only place we're charting that high. So thank you, Taiwan. Can I get a big high five for our fans in Taiwan?
Exactly.
So yeah, we are excited about that. And it says that you can get updates on your show every week. Just claim your chartable page to see chart ranks and reviews from Apple, Spotify, Stitcher, and more. Best of all, it's totally free. You know what? When places say something's totally free, it makes me suspicious.
Absolutely. It's never free. It's free.
Like, wait a minute.
To click the link, it's free. That's about it.
Yeah, it's like, why'd you say it was free? Oh, hey, we got some more announcements. Since we have recorded an episode, we had the privilege of being on Murder by Design. And that was a lot of fun talking to those ladies. And I wanted to specify it's on YouTube. So if anyone wants to catch us on Murder by Design, it's actually a YouTube channel. There is a podcast by the same name, but it's not the same ladies. So you'll need to move straight over to YouTube to see this. And it was a really good experience. They also have something called By Proxy and the Good Wives Guide to True Crime. Do I have that right, Renee?
Yes.
And so anyway, the Murder by Design, and we also uploaded it as an episode on our podcast. So that was the episode before last. So if you want to just check it out, if you're out driving or whatever, and you want to pop on whatever you normally listen to podcasts on, you can hear it on our channel, on our podcast. So, and then also right before that, we did a Q&A. It was a live that we did with Victimology. And I don't know if you're familiar with Victimology, but it's a really good podcast. And we just love Melissa Lee, the host. And she invited us on. We were actually connected to Melissa through one of our favorite listeners, Dale Noble. Thank you, Dale. And we had a really good time doing that Q&A. And
it was great.
Yeah. And we decided to upload that as an episode too, just in case someone missed it over on Victimology and you might want to listen to it on ours. Either place, it's there. And Murder by Design, same story. You could watch that on their YouTube channel, or you can check it out on our channel. We haven't been uploading everything to YouTube, so we're not big YouTubers yet, but that's kind of something we have planned for the future. So if you want to catch True Crime Brides, definitely stick to the podcasting platforms for now. And I think, is that all for our announcements, Renee? We want to get into the episode here.
I think you covered it all. Yeah, good job.
Thanks. You know, sometimes people say we should talk a little more so they can get to know the co-host. And then some people don't like the talking at all. They want you to get straight to the topic. So we made
it short and sweet.
Yeah. Today we were a lot more chatty at the beginning than normal. So sorry about that for those of you that don't like that format, but we're going to get right into our episode. Renee, did you want to start off?
Yeah, I know that everybody's aware that we've got, you know, quite a few episodes on, you know, Missy's case. We've been doing this over a year, and I can't remember how many we have. I should have looked at that before we started this, but I know it was...
We have 50 episodes.
50, okay. I mean, I was going to say 50, and I would have been right, and I wasn't, I thought I was off, so that's good. Okay, so we thought we would talk about the tools that the perp is carrying around in the surveillance video. And of course, the number one tool that I think that people would want to talk about, I mean, I noticed three things. I'm sure, I don't know if you notice anything different than I'm seeing, but I see a hammer, I see a crowbar, and I see a flashlight. That's the only things that I really see, except for the white mystery box that we see there towards the end. So we won't talk about that because we still don't know what it is. But anyway, so I thought that I would go through and kind of pull out some different types of hammers. Now, for anybody out there that just happens to be in any type of construction and knows more than me, please feel free to, you know, let us know. But I'm just giving you what I Googled really quickly, you know, just a little bit of information on hammers. And I pulled up the first 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. I pulled up 8. So the ball peen hammer is the one that has two heads, one round and one flat. I've seen those before. A brick hammer has a long crowbar and a square flat. So that doesn't sound like what I'm seeing or see what I see in the surveillance video. A claw hammer, it's for driving or pulling nails. I think that's the one that typically people will buy to just go home and hang up some pictures.
Like the ones we probably all have at home. Yeah,
exactly. And then a drywall hammer has a hatchet on one side. It's kind of interesting. It's kind of a small little hatchet. It has like a little hook on it. And I guess that's for putting up underneath a drywall or something. Obviously, I'm sure anybody out there that knows more than me is going to go, no, but you get my drift. Electrician hammer. It's similar to a claw hammer, but it's bigger. So the claw part is a lot larger. A framing hammer has a straight claw instead of that little curve that you see on the claw part where you use it to pull the nails out or the whatever. That part is actually straight. It still has the split, but it's just straight. I'm actually seeing those too. And then a sledgehammer is for breaking rocks and driving fence posts. And that's kind of like what I'm sure you've seen one before. They're kind of large.
Yeah.
One is a tack hammer, and it's used for upholstery, and it's kind of smaller. On the smaller side, it doesn't have that big round flat piece where you use to hammer the nails in. It's more of a smaller, and then it has a straight edge on the claw part, but it's not really a claw. It's just straight, kind of small. So anyway, that's just kind of a little brief overview of the different hammers or the most popular ones I've seen. Sure, there's probably a million more.
But well, you know, I had looked in an old group and kind of looked around at all the various discussion groups, and I kind of, now this is nothing technical, of course, this is just sort of a composite of what people are thinking in the discussion groups. And I actually saw someone had posted a poster, or, you know, those displays they'll have in the middle of stores. Lowe's apparently had this. I think it was Lowe's. Maybe it was True Value. I'll have to figure that out, and I'll post it when I find it. And in the next few days, we'll post some of these hammers just so, I mean, not to be gruesome, but just so people can kind of see what we're talking about. And I think the number one hammer I think it's Who Killed Missy Beavers was claw hammer. Mm-hmm. And then some people thought it looked like a bricklayer's hammer. Mm-hmm. Some people thought, like you mentioned, it looked like a framing hammer, and that also is called a rip hanger, apparently, and that's used for framing of houses. Mm-hmm. And then some people were saying it looked like a hiking or a climbing pickaxe, which I didn't really see that myself.
Yeah.
But I'm not.
Those are usually pretty big and pointy.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. And then some people said it looked like a slag hammer, which, in my opinion, that looks a little bit too straight. But okay. But yeah, I don't know though. I, in my opinion, there are some parts of the video, and I'll try to grab these still shots and put them on our Instagram and Facebook so people can see them. I'm kind of, in some of the shots, I'm seeing the claw hammer, like that little curled part on the end. And, but I don't know. It's just a horrible thought to think that any of these would be used on Missy. And you know, what's interesting though, as time goes by and we'd heard more information that pointed to her perhaps being shot, I started to kind of get away from the hammer attack theory. You know, I kind of feel like law enforcement wanted us to think that happened. I think it might be, I think it might be a combination, honestly, but I don't know. But, you know, the hammer, to me, watching the perp walk around with it, I kind of think they were just getting psyched up, and they were like tapping glass, like you always say, ever so gently on that one thing. But, you know, I wonder if that's the same hammer they used to break in initially, to break that glass and reach in and unlock the door. But what's weird about it is, don't you remember the early reports where it said that the perp had picked up the hammer in the church?
Yes, I do remember that.
Now, that's weird to me, because I would picture them using that to break in, but I guess they could have had some other tool, like the, like you mentioned, what's it called? The
crowbar.
Yes. Like maybe they use that. I mean, so strange. And of course, you know, we've said this a zillion times, law enforcement's been very tight-lipped about all this stuff. So all we can do is read the tea leaves, try to guess, try to stare at the video, see what we can see. But, and you know, another thing, speaking of the tools, there's that part where the perpetrator is standing in front of that one door. If you're facing, you know, if you're watching the screen, it's off to the left, you know what I'm talking about? And they look like they're messing with that door. And it's almost like, I don't know, were they bored or something? I can't imagine why they were trying to break into that little room. And they kind of pull something out of that vest they have on, and they kind of mess with the doorknob. And then they put it, it looks like, maybe I'm seeing it wrong, but it looks like they put something back in their vest. So it's almost like they have tools in the, under their, I don't know, that jacket, that tactical jacket or whatever. So I don't know. That's one, you know, we have always debated, I'm getting a little off topic, but we always debated male or female. That was one thing that kind of made me think male, because men are just more likely to have several different tools and especially know exactly how they want to put them in a tool vest kind of thing. But of course, I think it's a woman now, but it's just kind of funny. We might want to have an episode maybe sometime where we strictly just break down male versus female and the reasons why we think that and why other people think it.
Right.
Because that's kind of popped in my head while we were looking at the tools.
Yeah. And, you know, you reminded me of something that a lot of people talk about on this case. I hear people mention all the time about, well, you know, when the perp is standing there, they take something off that built off that board or whatever it is, it's like an information board or whatever, activity board, whatever it is.
Right.
I think that for one, the cameras, you know, glitches or stops or whatever it is, because there's not any motion happening and then it like picks back up again. But I don't see them taking anything off the board. I think they're literally, I don't even know that they're looking at it. I think they're just standing there facing that door. I still don't understand the whole point of it because, you know, like I said, I would never do any of these things that this person's doing. But if I was going to break into it, I wouldn't be tapping on it gently. I would be like, I'm getting in this door, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, you know, and sometimes those doors are really heavy duty doors, but I still think they would have put more effort into it. So I really don't understand that unless they're just doing it for the camera. I don't know. But anyway, so they're tapping on it real gently with the hammer onto the crowbar. And then they just stop, you know, after just a few seconds, and they're putting the crowbar, maybe they're lifting up like a pocket. And so they're lifting a pocket, putting the crowbar back in. I'm just kind of guessing from the way I've seen, you know, tactical gear and stuff. And then they take the hammer because they have the hammer in the other hand and they're, I guess, putting it up and they're fixed to walk off and the camera like stops and then turns back on. So you don't see the whole thing. So I don't know that they're really putting anything on that board. People are taking something off. Somebody said, well, they took something off the board. I don't know. I don't see that. What about you?
I don't think so either. It does look like I see a lot of nervous energy from this perpetrator. And I think one of them might've been just looking at the board and then a little bit later, I think it is, if I have the sequence down correctly, they appear to look at the camera and it kind of makes me wonder if that was the first they realized cameras were on. Cause you remember Cheryl McCollum said on the episode where we had her on, she said that she does not think that perp knew cameras were there. And that's kind of the opposite of what most people have been saying. Cause everyone was saying, oh, the perpetrator knew they were going to be on camera. So they made sure they were all covered up. But Cheryl had a different way of looking at it. She said that staging that crime scene was a really big part of this. And you can't stage something on camera. That just defies logic. So
that makes sense.
That's just really interesting to think about, that she just swears that perp wasn't counting on there being cameras in there. So that's interesting.
I kind of agree with that. And I'll tell you why. You know, the part we were just talking about where they, you know, they're standing there putting the tools back in their pouch and they turn around and they're walking towards that corner where they're going to go down the other hall. Right before they get there, I feel like they see the camera because they start turning their head to the left. It almost looks like they're looking in that room, but you can't really see anything in that room. So I think it's like, oh, camera, let me turn my head. And they turn their head to the left. It's kind of, you know, just take a look at that part. Let me see if I can see where, I'll tell you what the number is on that part real quick, because I have the video pulled up. And it's like they turn their head right about that time. And okay, hang on, I think I'm right there. Hang on, I think I'm gonna tell you the timestamp. It's about 105, 106. 1:05 is where they were walking. And right about that time, they start turning their head to the left. So I kind of think that she's right. It's like they say, oh, there's a camera. Crap, let me turn my head so it doesn't, you know, catch my face or something.
That's a really good point. I hadn't even thought about that.
I just noticed that a couple of times. I think that's what they're doing. So, and then in looking at this video again, you know, I don't know how many times we've contributed to the 516,000 views of this video.
But yeah, really. Probably half of them.
All right. But, okay. So at the end of the video, the perpetrator is walking out of, I think, did we decide that that's the kitchen area when they're at the very end? Is that the kitchen area? They're walking out where the door shuts and you can see it says police on the back?
No, I think that is room 10.
Okay. All right. So they walk out of room 10 and they are standing there, and you can, at first you see just police and you see that white box in their hand. And then the camera, like, either it pans, or I guess maybe they zoomed in for the purposes of this video, but nevertheless. Okay. So the perp is coming out the door. The door shuts, and this is around 1:55. Mm-hmm. Then they start, you see the white box, and then they start hitting the door that's in front of them right outside 10. They start hitting a glass window with a hammer. So I was watching it again to see if I could get a good picture of it. It's really hard to get a good still of this hammer, but I've tried it all. I've tried doing it slow. I've tried just randomly stopping it. It's very, very hard. However, I can tell you from what I see, when the perpetrator has the hammer in full swing and they're bringing it back over to hit the glass, the part that is hitting the glass first is the claw part of the hammer. And it looks to me like it's straight. It's not curved at all. I feel like it's a framing hammer, because in the description of a framing hammer, it says straight claw. Now, it could be another one that has a straight claw. I don't know, but that's just what I see. Mm-hmm. So what I got to thinking about, since the claw part is facing up, it's the part that's fixed to go over their shoulder and into the glass. Well, you start seeing the glass falling on the floor at the end of the video, hitting the floor. So I started thinking about it. I was like, okay, this has got to be somebody who knows how criminals work. Maybe they're connected to somebody in law enforcement or something, because they know enough that if they walk over to this glass window and they start hitting it with the flat part of the hammer, the glass is going to go out the other direction, which is going to show that it was done from the inside. But if they take it and hit it with the claw part of the hammer and they pull it out, the glass is going to come back in for the most part. And it's going to look like the instant thought is going to be like, oh, somebody broke in from the outside and the glass came inside. So I just thought it was interesting that they're hitting the glass with the claw part of the hammer.
Yeah, that's crazy. That's a really good point. Yeah, when you said that earlier, we talked on the phone earlier and you kind of ran that by me. That is so true. I would have never, ever thought of that.
I wouldn't have either if I hadn't been trying to look at the hammer. I was trying to look at it and it's literally impossible. You can just see enough of the claw to see that it's straight. That's all I can see. I know we've gotten a good, sort of a good picture when the perpetrator is walking from, and that's another thing I want to point out. Don't let me forget to point that other part out I was telling you earlier. But anyway, they're coming from going down the hall. They're coming back up the hall, and that's when they have the helmet flashlight on. Remember? Mm-hmm. They didn't have it on the first time. But anyway, they're coming down and they take a right. And right when they take a right, remember they pull that hammer up? And there was a time when we thought it was a gun or something, but it's a hammer. You can tell it's a hammer because you can see it while they're walking. Anyway, we kind of had a good picture of it then, but I remember not seeing any kind of curves then either. So I still agree. I think it's some hammer that's like the framing hammer or something similar.
Well, and you made the excellent point that the way they're doing that glass would suggest they know a little bit about how criminals can get away with stuff, you know?
Yeah, they have some kind of inside information, whether it's a police officer, because, you know, I'm sure if you're married or if you have an uncle or you have a, you know, whatever, brother who is in law enforcement, then you probably hear stories all the time. You're not going to believe what this criminal did, blah, blah, blah. You know, you probably hear them all the time because that's what they deal with on a daily basis. Yeah. So they come home with lots of stories. So you get to hear all the ins and outs about, you're not going to believe what this criminal did, blah, blah, blah. You know, so I can just see that being somebody who has some, you know, neighbor, family, friend, whatever, that's in law enforcement, and they get to hear, okay, so I need to do this because I don't want it to look like, not that I understand why that's important in this situation, unless they're just trying to trip everybody out. I don't know.
Well, we'll put some pictures up because I'm leaning toward claw hammer. Renee's leaning toward framing hammer, and I may change my mind once I look at the framing one closer. So we'll pop those pictures up in the next few days on our social media. So by the time people start listening to this episode, maybe they can tune in and check out the photos and we'll see what it is we think it is. Yeah. And also, I don't even know anymore if that was the murder weapon. You know, it sounds like it wasn't after time has passed, but in the beginning, everyone thought she was murdered with a hammer.
Right.
Just pretty crazy, the whole thing.
Police definitely trying to make it sound like that was, you know, that was the what was used, or at least one of the tools used. So we'll put it that way.
Right, right.
And the other thing I wanted to point out, I was telling you about this earlier, but I'm going to have to back up so I can remember what I was telling you. Okay. So, you know, when the perpetrator is walking, coming around the corner, and they walk in, they walk to that door, the daycare door, what it, I forget the name for that door, but the one that split, the split door. They walk over to that door and they open it and they see the bottom half opens and not the top half. And they kind of throw their head back like, what the heck? Anyway, as they're walking, you can see a hammer clearly in their hand. Okay. There's a hammer in their left hand. They're walking with it. I can see it, but you still can't see it good enough to make out what it looks like. But anyway, so they walk in that room and they literally open the door. Okay, they're opening the bottom door, then they open the top door, and they literally do not go completely into the room. They walk barely in, walk straight back out, and they no longer have a hammer in their hand. You can literally see their hand curving. And I'm trying to see if it's in the right hand. Like, I don't really know what the purpose of walking and putting it in the other hand, but whatever, maybe. But I don't see it anymore. I don't see it in the right hand because they go to another door and they use their right hand again to open the door. So I don't know if they put the hammer down there on like a table or something. So when they're coming back up the hall, the camera stops like it did in that first part. And then they start coming back up the hall and now they have the hammer in their hand again. So I'm wondering if that part was just out of sequence. I'm pretty sure it's probably, I'm sure the whole thing is out of sequence, but.
Right.
What do you think?
Yeah, I have to agree. I don't know. I mean, law enforcement never told us. Didn't there used to be timestamps on them and people were figuring it out that way?
Because the first time they did it, they only released 8 seconds. And then the second time they released 20 seconds. And then the third time they released a 2 minutes and 26 or 2 minutes and 28 seconds. It says different things on different ones. But anyway, so, you know, they added two different ones that they kind of put together. So I'm not sure. I feel like they're kind of out of order. I don't really understand why, but whatever.
Yeah, that is strange. And I don't really understand that part of it. That's a weakness of mine. I think when that video comes on, I get so mesmerized by watching the perpetrator. I don't remember what those timestamps said. I didn't record that. And some of them have the timestamp on it and some don't, right? Or am I mixed up?
Yeah, they do. I think the first one, like I said, is 8. It's really, I remember the first one is 8 seconds. And I remember thinking, my gosh, that's all we get is 8 seconds. And then the second one was like 20 seconds. And I'm like, okay, we get 20 seconds. And then we got 2 minutes. But that's 2 minutes and 28 seconds versus, 22 minutes worth of time that they're there before she shows up. So anyway, I don't know, but I, you know, and if y'all will, everybody listening to this, you know, go to our group and, tell us what hammer you think it is. And maybe you have a good picture of it that we weren't able to get. Feel free to, you know, send us a picture or post it on our group, because we would like to see what you got. Because maybe you're seeing something that we're not, and that's perfectly, we want to see them.
Yeah. So, and so are we ready to wrap up, or did we want to cover anything else?
I think that's all I wanted to cover.
Well, I wanted to read that good review we got. We have, this is our most recent review we got on Apple Podcasts.
Yes.
It was from May 15th, 2021, written by Sinji, C-I-N-J-I. That was their username. And it's 5 stars. Thank you very much, Sinji. And it says, I too am obsessed with the MB case and wonder how it hasn't been solved yet. Love your discussions and guests. And then at the top, the title of it says, just discovered y'all. It's like talking to friends. So that's really sweet.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah. Yeah. Thanks for the great review. We really appreciate it. We're going to try to remember to read a good review on the air every time we record, as a way to say thank you very much. And if you're listening to us and you're enjoying this at all, please give us a 5-star review. If you're on one of the places where you can leave a review, please don't leave a bad review. We're not making any money here, and we're just trying to entertain people and bring you information. We're not experts. We have never said we were experts. We've got a couple of reviews from people saying that we don't know anything, and I'll be the first to tell you, I don't know anything. So let's get that out in the open. Let's just get that out in the open.
We definitely don't claim to be experts by any means. We're just two moms, two wives, whatever, trying to keep the light shed on this case because, you know, we see so many cases and we hear about so many cases. And I don't know why some get more attention than others, but I do know that you can tell that it does have something to do with someone or several people that are keeping it in the spotlight. And we just, you know, care about Missy. She's, you know, from our, you know, county where we, you know, grew up or whatever. Mm-hmm. And we just want to make sure that her case in particular gets, you know, in the spot, stays in the spotlight so that it can be solved, you know.
And when we do get around to sharing information, we're usually reading it straight off a search warrant or the CSI report or something we've researched or heard from a expert. We're certainly not claiming to be experts in any forensics or anything like that because we're not. And I hope we'd made that clear, but apparently a couple people got the wrong idea and wanted to give us quite the little tongue lashing.
That's why we have the experts on our podcast. You know, we've had Bobby Chicano on. He's the FBI deep water investigations and underwater, whatever it is. And, you know, all the different experts we've had on the case, that's why, because we are definitely not the ones.
How cool was that, though? Hey, check this out. Remember recently, we're thinking about doing an episode on Scott Peterson soon, because the Missy Beavers case just doesn't have any news, so we're going to mix it up a little bit and bring you Scott Peterson. And I was Googling and going back over stuff and reading back over that case. I followed it closely at the time. But looking back at it now, Bobby Chacon was part of the diving team that looked for Lacey and Connor. So that's just amazing. So what
I know.
I didn't realize that, but it makes sense. He was on the West Coast and the FBI diving team at the time. So it makes perfect sense. But
it does. I just didn't
make that connection. So
yeah,
that was cool. Awesome. We just read that like a week ago. Okay, I think that's it for tonight's episode. Thank you so much for tuning in. This is Crystal and Renee with True Crime Broads. We are not experts. And we are just here to bring you whatever information we can gather and have a discussion about this case. We hope and pray all the time that it gets solved. And we are eternally grateful for you that listen to us. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Good night. Evening.
Good night.
Yes. Yeah.